I want you to open up your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. I don't think we'll be very long today and this evening, but I do have a message here that I want to bring to you this evening. And we're going to just start out in Acts chapter number 9. And actually, the first, I want you to look at the chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. And we're actually not going to read all of those, but I want you to be looking at them and just get there if you would. And then I'm going to have a word of prayer. I want to talk about this subject of humble obedience, I think it's a practical truth, but very, very simple. That's the only kind of truths that I can give because I'm simple. And so, but I hope it'll be something that'll be a help to you. You know, I think sometimes we live the Christian life and it becomes more difficult than it has to. Has anybody else experienced that, where sometimes you go through life and problems might come or difficult things come into your life and you just don't quite know how to handle it, what to do with it? And the Christian life doesn't have to be that challenging. You know, I know when I first came here, and we'll get into this here in a minute, but when I first came here, I struggled for a while. And I had to just get good with me. And I think a lot of times, and I'd been in the ministry already for 10 years. but I had to be good with me. And I was making the Christian life more complicated than it really needed to be. And I think a lot of good Christians struggle with that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, just humble obedience. It's very simple. Humble obedience, and I want to ask God to help us, and we're gonna look at Acts chapter 9 here in a minute, but let's go to the Lord and get Him involved with this. Father, we love You this evening. God, I'm so thankful that we can call upon You. You're a wonderful God. Lord, I'm so thankful that You've given us Your Word that we can turn to, we can live by, we can trust You in every area of our lives. God, I do believe that You want our lives to be blessed. And Lord, I pray You'll help us this evening to experience Your full blessings. And Lord, help us just to be fully in tune to Your will for our lives. Lord, I think sometimes we work so hard to be something that we think we should be. And the truth is, God, You want to transform our lives. If we would just allow You to do something with us beyond our capacity, beyond our ability, that is capable of You doing it in any of our lives. Help us to be fully yielded to You. I pray You'll help my mind, Lord, to be fully fixed on You this evening. And I pray, God, that You will use this message to speak even to my heart and to each one of us in a special way through Your Word. And we'll praise You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Acts chapter number 9, and I hope you're looking there in your Bible. I hope you still have a Bible that you hold in your hand. Amen. I know we use these iPhones and things like that, and it's kind of funny. You know, the kids, we have devotions in the morning, and some of them have it on their iPad or their iPhone and things like that. You know, it's nice to be able to hold the King James Bible in your hand. Amen. And it's just a blessing that we have this book still. It's alive and well. But if you have a chance, I'm actually going to read off my notes here. But you read out of your Bible. It will be up on the screen. I think we're prepared to do that. I've given Colby all of the verses that we're gonna talk about. But I want to just quickly kind of go through Acts chapter 9. And we're not really talking about Acts chapter 9. I'm just using it as an introduction to this message here. And here we see in Acts chapter number 9, we see here a wicked man named Saul. Everybody remember Saul in the Bible before he became the Apostle Paul? God used the Apostle Paul in an amazing way, but something had to take place in his life before he became the great Apostle Paul. And God had to do some transforming in his life. But he started out as being a wicked man, killing Christians, persecuting Christians. And then in verse number 3, we see Saul is on his way to Damascus. And then suddenly there was a light shining from heaven. You remember the story. Most of us probably know the story about Paul on the road to Damascus. And he fell to the earth in verse 4, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And, you know, sometimes we have to have these things in our life where God has to get our attention. You ever been there where God had to get your attention? He fell on the earth there in verse 4, like we said, and God said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" God had to get his attention. Once God got his attention, Saul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There in verse number 6. And what wilt thou have me to do? You see, sometimes before we are going to be obedient to God, He has to do something to us to get our attention, maybe humble us enough to the point to where we're willing to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. You ever been there? It's important that we allow God to do that in our lives. And so then Saul, in verse number 8, Saul was led by the hand into Damascus. That's kind of a humbling experience. A man of his caliber, being led by the hand because he's blind, he's being led by the hand, and this was God doing this in his life, a humbling experience. Hey, has God ever humbled you in your life? Has God ever allowed something to come in your life that he's had to humble you to where you had no option but to follow the hand of God and be led by the hand to wherever God wants you to go? And I think it's a very powerful thing that we allow God to humble us. Then there was a certain disciple in verse number 10 at Damascus. His name was Ananias. And then we see in verse number 11 that God tells Ananias to specifically go to the house of Judas and ask for Saul of Tarsus. Ananias already knew who Saul of Tarsus was. He didn't want anything to do with them. He's like, "God, are you sure?" I can just imagine what Ananias is thinking. This is the guy here that murders Christians. This is not somebody that I really want to go meet. But Ananias was obedient to the Lord. In verse number 13, Ananias heard of his evil doings towards Christians. In verse number 15, God tells Ananias that Saul, get this, is a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel. The murderer of Christians, the persecutor of Christians, was God's chosen vessel. That's intriguing to me. That's a powerful thing to see how God, when he humbles a man and he chooses a man and he can do something powerful with that man that he humbles and chooses as a chosen vessel. In verses 17 and 18, we see that Ananias finds Saul. Saul receives his sight back. He gets saved and he gets baptized. And we see the life of we see the power of God's transformation and what a God does in Paul's life. Used to be Saul of Tarsus. And then later on in verse number 20, we see that Saul is preaching Christ in the synagogue. What an awesome and powerful example of what I call humble obedience. Humble obedience. And you know, in reality, that's how simple the Christian life is. Just simple, humble obedience. You know, too many times our pride gets in the way and it keeps us from doing what God would have us to do for His glory. It's just because of our own pride. And God wants us to humble ourselves so we can obey Him. And I don't know what God may be putting you through to humble you, and He may be looking for you just to be obedient to His perfect will for your life. I don't know what that is. I could talk to many of you, and you could give me your story of how God brought you to the Lord and what God had to do to humble you to the point of getting saved and realizing His need for salvation and your need for salvation. So what an awesome example. Many of us were this way. We were heading down the road in the wrong way. However, along the way, God allowed something to happen that transformed our lives. God humbled us and He saved us, and now we humbly serve Him. How many of you have that testimony? I'm not going to ask you to share that, but God had to do something in your life to get you to a place to where you realize you needed Him. By the way, if you're saved this evening, God had to do that. And by the way, I want you to understand this, and this is really the whole crux of the message. God is the one that has to do it. If God's ever going to do anything in your life, it has to be God doing it. Have you ever tried to live the Christian life in your power, in your strength? You will experience a life of misery. You will experience a life of frustration. And if you've done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those that weren't saved necessarily, although they're included in that. I'm talking about Christians today that are living a life of frustration because they're trying to live the Christian life that they think God wants them to live, but they're doing it in their own power and their own strength. And you will be frustrated until you humble yourself to the point where you obey God the way God wants you to obey Him. That's a challenging thing sometimes. And it takes complete humility. I wrote some of these questions down here. Are you trying hard to be a better husband or a better wife? You're working so hard because you know it's the right thing for you to be a good spouse, and you're working so hard to better yourself, and you're working so hard to be the man that God wants you to be to your wife and to be a good husband, and you're working so hard to be a godly wife. And we've got it all out of whack because we're so working so hard to become what we think God wants us to be, and it's much easier than that. It's humble obedience. Are you trying to be a better mother or father? Maybe you're reading all the books that you need to be the best parent that you know how to be. Those are wonderful things. I don't want to discourage you from reading books that help you become a better spouse, from being a better parent, and all those things. Hey, I can give you a real good book that you could start with right here. But you know, truth is, we work so hard at trying to be what we think we're supposed to be. We look at everybody else and we say, well, that's the model, mom and dad, and that's what I've got to work at being. And we live a life of frustration. Maybe you're trying to work so hard to be a better worker. And you're pushing yourself and you're driving yourself to be the best employer or the best employee that you can be for your employer. And you're working so hard at it. Maybe you're working hard to be a better employer. Maybe you're trying so hard to be a better student. Maybe you're trying so hard to be a better Christian. Maybe you're working so hard to try to figure out God's will for your life. And you're working and trying hard to work out God's will for your life. And we stress over these types of things and we're trying to figure out, what is it that God wants me to do? And a problem comes into our life. And we think it's our job to figure it out. We think it's our job to solve that problem. We think that we're the ones that have to go out of our way to find the answers, to find God's perfect will for our lives. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. It just takes simple, humble obedience. It just takes obedience. You see, God wants to bless His children. God wants to bless your family. God desires to bless your marriage even more than you do. God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless you with your work. God wants you to be filled with His blessings throughout your entire life, more than you do even. And all it really takes is humble obedience. God's not trying to hide His will for you. God's not trying to make it difficult. He makes it plain as day for you. The problem is we're full of pride, and we can't see past our own pride to humble ourselves enough to just obey what God wants us to do. You say, well, Brother Hosh, you don't understand. I'm going through a time of my life right now, and I just can't figure it out. I've tried to be humble. I've tried to see what does God want me to do. You're exactly where God wants you to be right now. You just keep trusting Him. You just keep following Him. You just keep doing what you know is right to do. You get up in the morning and you open up these pages, even when you're looking at it saying, I'm just not quite getting it yet. You keep going to church when you walk through those doors and you know that you're going through the heartache of your life. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe your spouse walked away from you. Maybe you're going through some difficult times in your life and you don't want to walk through those doors because you're wondering what everybody's going to think about you. You're worried about all the stress that comes your way and you're worried about all those problems. Hey, listen, if we could just humble ourselves and do what God wants us to do, we could experience a blessed life. The Christian life does not have to be complicated. The Christian life does not have to be difficult. We just need to humbly obey God. God's just looking for simple, humble obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hey, everything we think about to the obedience of Christ. Again, is it your thought? Or is it a godly thought? Is it a thought that Christ would want you to have? We bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Ask yourself this question: is what you're doing glorifying God? Is what you're doing glorifying God? It doesn't have to be complicated. Say, is this what I'm, the decision that I'm making today, the actions that I'm involved in, are they glorifying God? Hey, simple, humble obedience. Everything, the Bible says here, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything you do ought to glorify God. And so if you're getting ready to partake of something or do something that's not glorifying to God, that's your problem. It's the simple obedience. Simple obedience. I wrote these things down here. I got three simple points here. And then we'll be done. I wrote this down here. In order for you to humbly obey God, you must realize three things. And there could be more things, but I wrote these down. We have to understand this here. You got to understand that you are not your own. You're not your own. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to realize that I don't even belong to me. You know, God has something even more powerful and more special for my life than what I've ever dreamed of doing. It may be that you have these awesome plans. You grow up and you think, man, you know, for me, I worked in the fire department when I was a teenager, and I thought, man, I'd love to be a firefighter, and I got to be involved in a lot of firefighting and first aid calls, and I really enjoyed that, and then I ended up joining the Navy because I wanted to be a firefighter in the Navy, and they said, you don't want to do that. Everybody's a firefighter in the Navy, and I wanted to go in the military because I didn't like school. And so I chose the hardest school in the Navy, electronics. I wasn't the brightest one. But, you know, as I went in through the military, you know, we have these dreams for our life. And I ended up getting involved in a church there. And I got saved. And I got involved. And God wanted me to get involved in ministry. See, I realized that my life is not my own. And before we're going to be able to glorify God, if we're going to be able to obey Him, we've got to realize we're not our own. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Ye are not the servants of men." Hey, listen, you're not your own. You don't have to figure out your life for yourself. All you have to do is humbly obey. Amen. All you have to do is figure out what God has for your life and humbly obey. You don't have to have all the answers. I like what it says in Ephesians 2:10. "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're His workmanship. See, you don't even have to work so hard to become a good Christian. Isn't that an awesome thing? You know why? Because it's up to God to transform your life. It's not up to you. And you can go ahead and work as hard as you want to be that godly Christian that you think that God wants you to be. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to humbly obey Him. I mean, the Christian life is so simple. God just says, hey, listen, I just want you to obey me. I'm going to show you the path I want you to go down. If you'll just simply and humbly obey me, you will experience a life of blessings. Why don't we do that? Because of flesh? Because of sin? What we are? But we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We work so hard to better ourselves, and we think that it's all up to us. We've got it all wrong. We think that we are the ones that transform our lives. Why don't you let God transform your life? Why don't you let God put you through whatever He has to put you through to get you to obey whatever it is He wants you to do? I don't care what it is. And if you've been through a life transformation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that it was God that made that transformation. You know what? There's no better place to be than in the center of God's perfect will for your life. But it doesn't just happen through a life of ease. It doesn't just happen because you make a decision that you're going to do God's will. Hey, you're going to have to humble yourself and let God put you through whatever He chooses to put you through to humble you to the point where you have no choice but to obey Him. I can't see where I'm going. Just keep trusting me. Just keep trusting me. That's where God wants you to be. He wants to take you by the hand, and when you can't see 10 feet in front of you, He wants you to trust Him and just obey Him. What a simple truth to have a blessed life. But it's very, very true. He's your creator. He knows how you operate better than anyone. He knows you. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows what it takes to make you tick. You know how you figure out God's perfect will for your life? It's real simple. Lose your will. It doesn't get any more basic than that. You want to figure out God's will for your life? I had plans to do this. Okay, those plans are on the back burner now. You lose your will. Now, it may be that God will let you do what you wanted to do. But you lose your will and you say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. You just show me what you want me to do and you show me where you want me to go. Count me in. I'm willing. You set your will aside. Lose your will. Follow His will. It's humble obedience. We don't always understand what God is doing or even why, but just trust Him. Just trust Him. What a powerful passage of Scripture. Many of you know it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here it is. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's a promise from God right there. Mark a P in your Bible and circle it. That's a promise. He shall direct your paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. You know where we fail? We forget to acknowledge God. Before we take that job assignment, we forget to acknowledge God. Before we make that transition, we forget to acknowledge God. Hey, listen, the Christian life is simple. It's humble obedience. It's humble obedience. And God will direct our paths. We just got to trust Him. You know, I was thinking, I've moved different churches. We worked up in Washington State for 5 years. Worked at the college for a couple years. Jeremy, you've been there. You worked at the college. Worked there. I worked there in the maintenance department. And moved out to Washington State. Moved my family quite a few miles from Indiana. Moved out there. Worked in a church for 5 years in Washington. Loved it. God used us, did wonderful things there. Then He ended up moving us all the way to Pennsylvania. Many of you know the story. We packed everything up 3,000 miles clear across the United States to an area I've never been to, never had any desire to go to, but we knew it was God's will for our life. And then 5 years after that, you know the story, Pastor Mutzler called us. I told him no 5 times. I was on the phone with him the last time that he was going to call me, the last time I was going to say no. He was expecting me to say no. And I asked him, I said, Pastor, what is it? Why is it that you won't leave us alone? I don't know if that's the words I said, but what is it that you see in us that you need in your ministry, whatever? Why do you want us so bad to come work in your ministry? And here's what he said. I remember I was working landscaping. I was just getting ready to drive away from the job. He says, I just want the opportunity to be your pastor. I just want the opportunity to be your pastor. Now, we knew that we were considering the move out here. We didn't have any desire to. We didn't have any need to. Things were going great. But those were the words that I needed to hear for some reason. And Pastor tells a story. He said it was just quiet on the phone. That's because I was weeping. Because I knew that this is what God wanted for our lives. It was just like the burden had been lifted. And we had prayed and prayed and said, okay, God, if that's what you want us to do, you just make it clear. God made it clear. I will say this here. I moved my family 3,000 miles. I'd already been here. We'd been up in Washington. I knew Pastor Mutzler. I knew what we were kind of getting into, knowing that I really didn't want to. I knew I was going to have to teach in the school, and I didn't want to. I knew there were certain things about some of the things I was going to have to do that I really didn't have any desire to. I didn't make the decision to move my family here because it was my desire. But I knew it was God's desire. But we came here. We had a house that we purchased. We were going to move into. We got here. That all fell through. We ended up living in a trailer back here where the six classrooms are back here with four kids in a RV trailer for a month and a half, 2 months. We had a house and we still owned our trailer in Pennsylvania. It was a mobile home, a single wide trailer in Pennsylvania. Still had to pay lot rent. We still owned our home in Washington that we had rented out for the 5 years that we were in Pennsylvania. And then we finally got a place to rent down here on Caulfield, there in the corner of Caulfield and 213. And we were paying all of these things here. My wife came down with pneumonia. I remember we didn't even have time to go get our license changed over. We were just bounced around all over the place thinking, Lord, what in the world have we gotten into? I mean, I was just thinking, what in the world have we gotten into? And I'll be quite honest with you, I was frustrated for a while. But I was exactly in the center of God's will. I was exactly in the center of God's will. And now I'm very, very glad that we made that decision. God will direct our paths if we'll let Him. This year, we're trying to get everyone to find some place to serve, our theme. And we want you to get plugged in somewhere. We want everybody to get plugged in somewhere. We want everybody to be able to serve somewhere. Sunday school teacher or helper. We need, as Brother TJ mentioned, we're starting up our bus routes next week. We need drivers. We need workers, right? Hey, listen, what's God calling you to do? We just need to be obedient. Hey, ushers, greeters, parking lot attendants, children's program workers, music ministry, soul winning. We're doing our inreach and then our outreach. Food bank. I think we're going to open up our food bank soon. The nursery, still, I'm sure we're still looking for nursery workers, right? Still need 10 more? We still need 10 more ladies to volunteer one day a month. Discipleship. Hey, listen, there's plenty of places to serve. But let me say this here. You better figure out how God wants you to serve, and you be obedient. I think too many Christians get frustrated, and they do what they feel like they want to do when they serve. They pick a job that they feel comfortable with. Hey, you better figure out what God wants you to do and humbly obey. Hey, our problem is that we concentrate on what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. The truth is, most of us have a submission problem. Are you like me? I don't like to be told what to do. Is anybody else like that? Yeah? Some of you are honest. I don't like to be told what to do. I don't like anybody to tell me what to do. But God has a plan for our lives, and all he wants us to do is to surrender to his will, whatever that may be. And he'll make it very, very clear for us, and we just need to trust him. So, number one, you're not your own. Secondly, and these all go along the same thing, but your family is not yours. I don't know about you. I've got four children. Actually, we've got five in our home. Five, and all five of them were up here singing tonight. Even little JT's in sixth grade now. I can't believe it. It's hard to believe he was singing up here over on this side. We've got five kids in our home. Can I just admit to you, I have no clue how to rear children. I have no idea how God wants. I don't know what to do. You ever feel like you're just lost? Probably every parent's like, man, are all kids this way? Or is it just my kids? And we're trying to rear our families the best we know how. Can I give you some good news? They're not your kids anyway. They don't even belong to you. That's awesome. You know, it's kind of like grandkids. You can send them back to the parents, right? Hey, you know what? Hey, your children are actually God's. They don't belong to you. Your family is not yours. I like what it says in Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And then verse number 3, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, is his reward. It's his reward. Hey, children are a heritage of the Lord. They belong to him. I wrote this down here. It's God's job to build your family. Hey, and I think we ought to do everything we can to raise our children up for the Lord. I see those gears there turning there, Tim. I don't know if I want to say what I'm thinking you're thinking. Hey, it's not my job to... I'm the head of my home. I am the parent of my children. But you know whose job it really is? To rear my kids, that's God's job. And if I would just be humble enough and obedient enough to serve his children the way he wants me to, my kids will just, they'll turn out just fine. And I call them my kids, but I think you understand. Listen, we're working so hard and we're investing in our kids. And I think we ought to do everything we possibly can. But the best thing we can do is help them to have a walk with God. Get them plugged into everything in the church they possibly can get plugged into. Teach them to be humble, obedient servants for the Lord. Are they going to make mistakes? You better believe it. Hey, you can go ahead and you can be the best parent in the whole wide world. You can train your children up the way you know they should go based upon the Word of God. And your kids can still be a flop. And you know what you'll do? You'll blame yourself when your kids go off the deep end, even though you've done your dead level best to rear them up for the Lord. And you'll blame yourself. Hey, let me tell you something. Those are not your children. They're God's children. And why don't you be a part of helping rear God's children for his glory? Everything you do, hey, you know, you treat everybody else's kids better than your own kids. Are you like me? Sometimes I'm that way. Hey, if I have a guest that comes over, I'm a little bit careful because that's somebody else's kid. And I better be careful how I treat my own kids because they don't even belong to me. That's God's child. I have no right to make decisions for what I call my children that go against this book right here. Because they're not my children. They're God's children. Hey, listen, you're responsible and you're going to answer to God someday for how you rear your children that actually belong to God. Hey, they're not yours. Your family is not yours. It's God's job to build your family. He's the one that designed the institution of the home, and he's the one that can transform your home. I made this statement in my Sunday school class one time. If we yield our lives to him and abide by his blueprints for the home, Our families will begin producing fruit for His glory, for His honor and glory. Hey, God's got it all figured out, His blueprints. And we just need to follow His blueprints. When God is honored and glorified, you reap the benefits. And that's a real blessing. But you're not your own. Your family's not your own. It's important that we teach our children humble obedience. When they need to be faithful to church, they need to be faithful in walking with God, they need to be faithfully yielded to His will for their lives. It's God's job to protect your family. You know, this week, Larry Baird, he's our security guy in our church, and he's the head of our security. And 12 years ago, he came through and he did a security walkthrough. And he gave us an assessment of some things that we needed to do. One of the things is that he said we need to do, we need to put up a bunch of cameras. He also suggested that we invite the sheriffs to come and be a part of our, have a place for them to come and print things out or work on the computer or have a nice place. Hey, both of those things we've been able to accomplish in the last couple years. And this year, a few weeks ago, he and I walked around, and he's been coming in all this week working on my computer, and he's making an assessment of more things that we can do to better our security. Hey, we've done it. We've actually got a lot of wonderful things that we've done. And God has blessed our security, and we are trying to take, we have taken drastic security measures to try to keep our children safe in our school, our church people safe. We have somebody that's down in my office with a whole bunch of screens watching everything that's going on all the time through the services, and we've got security guards that are trained and armed and ready to go if there's something that were to take place, medical emergencies. Hey, we do everything we possibly can in our power and our strength and our wisdom to try to keep things safe and secure. But the Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It's still of the Lord. We can prepare and we can do everything we possibly can to protect our families, but safety is still of the Lord. It's of the Lord. And thank God our head of security, he understands that. They have prayer before they go out on the security patrol every Sunday morning. They'll have prayer together because they realize they got to have God. Your children actually belong to God. It's God's job to protect your family. It's God's job to provide for your family. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. These are all familiar passages. But God is the one that provides for our family. Don't be so wrapped up in trying to figure it out in your own strength. God is the one that will provide. And then thirdly, your possessions are not yours. Your possessions are not yours. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the full. Hey, everything belongs to God. You don't belong to you. Your family doesn't belong to you. Your ministry isn't yours. Hey, listen, your possessions aren't even yours. Everything belongs to God. And He is going to be the one that will provide for us. But we need to understand that it belongs to God. Matthew 6:19 and 20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen, we ought to invest in the things that brings honor and glory to God. Your possessions are not yours. Hey, if you want to experience the blessings of God upon your life, why don't you realize that you don't own anything? You don't own yourself. You don't own your family. You don't own your possessions. They all belong to God. You know, it's easier to give God what's required when you realize it doesn't belong to you anyway. Do you think that God is a God that's going to leave you out in the dry when He just asks you to give whatever He asks you to give? Do you think that God doesn't want your life to be blessed? Hey, I wish that everybody could understand this truth. You say, oh, there you go. The preachers are always talking about money. Do you understand that God doesn't need your money? But He does need your heart. And it's amazing where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And if God can get you convinced that you don't own it anyway, You don't own yourself. You don't own your family. You don't own your possessions. God could do something with your life because he's humbled you to the point to where you realize you don't own anything anyway. So anything that he gives you is bonus. Do you understand the powerfulness of that truth right there? Anything that God does in your life is bonus because it all belongs to him anyway. God does require the tithe. Deuteronomy 14:22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. It says tithe all the increase. Somebody texted me this week from my Sunday school class and says, Brother Hoxie, are we supposed to tithe on our gross or our net? And I said, well, the Bible teachers are supposed to tithe on all your increase, so that you should tithe on your gross. And the person says, well, that's what my wife says, but I was just doubting. I said, listen to your wife, you know. But I thought that was funny. I thought that was great. But you know what was awesome? Is that this particular individual is learning to trust God. Amen. They're learning to trust God. And that's what we need to do. And then after giving all of our giving of our tithes, which is required, then I think we ought to give as the Lord directs in other areas. But see, we're going to have to be fully yielded to him, humbly obedient. Now, here's what I think sometimes we do wrong. I think that pastor gets up here and there's a need. Oh, I want to be a part of that. And we give that to the Lord. We have a missions conference and oh, I need to be a part of that. And we give towards the missions conference. And you know, I think all those things are awesome. I think we ought to give to everything we possibly can give. And I'm one of those guys that believe you cannot outgive God. I believe that the more you give to the Lord, the blessings will come down. But I will say this here. I think it's more important that you give as the Lord directs you. You say, well, I think that we should do this and that. And so I'm going to give towards this here. I think it's more important that you give as the Lord directs you to give. You know why? Because that takes humble obedience. Because God may direct you to give something that is out of your control. He may want you to sacrifice something that is out of your control. And you know that's what God wants you to do. But listen, are you humble enough to obey him? That's the challenge. It's simple but difficult, right? Humble obedience. God requires us to be good stewards of his possessions. In Matthew chapter number 25, we're almost done here. We're going to shut it down here quickly. Matthew 25, there's the story of the man who gave some talents to his servants. And he gave one man five talents, another he gave two talents, you know the story, and he gave another one talent. And after a long time, the Lord returned to his servants. He wanted to collect on his investment, right? And he went to the one that he gave five, and what did he do? He gained five more. Went to the one that he gave two, and he gained two more. He went to the one that he gave one. What did he do? He hid it. He was afraid of his master, so he buried it in the earth. And the Lord took that one talent and gave it to the one that had the ten. And he called the one servant that he gave the one talent unprofitable. Unprofitable. Hey, listen, we're going to have to give an account to God someday for how we steward his possessions. His possessions. And they're not ours. He's entrusted us. I wrote this down here. Jeremy, we've talked about the legacy fund. And I wrote this down here because Pastor has encouraged us to contribute to the legacy fund. And by the way, that's investing in the next generation. And I thought, here's a good verse to go with that. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. You know, I believe that many will be able to give towards this legacy fund. And the idea, I think Pastor has mentioned that what we'd like to do is of course, we want to pay off a bunch of debt, but we want to be able to have a gym someday. You know, there may be some people that give towards that may never see that gym. But what are they doing? They're leaving an inheritance to their children's children. I think that's a Bible principle there that I think that we should consider. And maybe God would work on your heart about that. Hey, listen, are you a good steward of that which does not belong to you? We're going to conclude here. We've got just a couple more minutes left. I want to show you these verses here on humility. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, but before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You see, most of our problems are a pride problem. You know what God's looking for? Humility. He's just looking for a humble obedience. Let me give you a few verses here on pride. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, sometimes God has to humble us so that we have to do nothing but turn to him. So we have no choice but to look to him, and we'll seek after God, willingly seek after him. Maybe he has to humble us to be able to do that, so that God will be in all of our thoughts. Look at this one here, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So if you are having conflict, whatever that may be, the Bible is very clear here, only by pride cometh contention. Can I just say this here? It's a good thing when God humbles us. Have you ever been in a humbling situation before? It's not fun. I don't like to be humbled. But you know, it may be that that problem that you have in your life, that contention, whatever that may be, that may be the very thing that God is using to help you to realize the real problem of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16:18, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Hey, listen, the Christian life is not difficult for a humble, obedient Christian. It's really not that difficult. What is it that God wants you to do that you're just not willing to surrender to? We just need to be humble. We just need to be obedient. And it's amazing what God will do in your life. I want to challenge you with this very truth here. God never allows anything in our life except for he wants to use that for his glory. He wants to use it for his glory. There is nothing that God will put in your path that he put there, it's not to destroy you. It may be that God wants you to learn the simplest truth of humble obedience. That may be all it is. Can I challenge you with this here? Don't make a move until you know that's what God wants you to do. And then when you know that's what God wants you to do, don't waver. Don't turn back. Because you're going to doubt. You're going to fear. Things are not going to go like I mentioned when we first moved out here. Things are not going to go as you thought they should go. But don't turn back. Don't look back. You figure out what God's perfect will is for your life, and you humbly obey him and do exactly what God wants you to do. And by the way, his will is always made clear to a humble servant. He will make his will very clear for your life. Let's pray. Father, God, I know you're an amazing God. I know you're a powerful God. Lord, I do know that there are people in this room that are struggling with what your will is for their life. They're struggling with conflict. And I may not know specifically. I don't know these people. I don't follow everybody around and know what they're dealing with. But Lord, I know in a crowd even this size, that, and just because of human nature, Lord, the truth is we need you in every area of our lives. The moment we start doing things in our own power and our own strength, we're bound to fail. And God, we need to be humbled. I pray, God, that you'll help us to have a humble spirit, a humble heart. I pray, God, you'll take us by the hand and lead us down the path in the direction you want us to go, and help us to humbly submit to your perfect will for our lives and never turn back. God, I believe that somebody needed this truth tonight. I pray you'll be an encouragement to them. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life and give them the grace, the power, the wisdom, the direction, the clear direction in their life, Lord, for what you want them to do, and then help give them the boldness and the courage to step up and do exactly what you've called them to do. We'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are done for the evening. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. I believe that's everything. We want you to be back on Sunday, ready to go. And thank you for being here. Awana should be out here shortly. Teenagers should be stepping out real quickly here. They may already be out in the hall. But God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening.